Okay, welcome back. I had a couple of guests tonight. One of them, we're going to talk to him soon, I hope, in Canada. He's been on before. Tow truck driver and operator, and had a lot to say about what's going on the roads now. Type of cars, quality of cars, people, how they're acting, and so forth. But he wrote a little while ago, earlier today, 4 or 5 hours ago, and said, sorry, I can't make it tonight. We had a large dump of snow, and I'm going to be very busy tonight. So he's a hands-on tow truck driver. I really like talking to people like that. So we'll have him on soon. So I'm going to fill this hour because there is a tsunami of new artificial intelligence stories. And a lot of it has to do with quantum. If you remember the quantum breakthrough recently, it mocked millions, maybe more, of people who said, quantum, it doesn't exist. It's science fiction. Well, it does, and it works. And now it's part of AI. And we're headed toward a time when it will be quantum AI. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I've got 3 or 4 different pieces we're going to take a look at here. But if you have been paying attention, the Pentagram signed a contract with Anthropic to be its AI. Well, apparently, Dario Amodè said no to the Pentagon when it said, we're going to ask you for total access to everyone who uses your products, your AI. And Amodè said no. And the Pentagon has given him a deadline. And now there is talk that the U.S. government is actually threatening to seize Claude. Yes, true. And I haven't really pulled the story apart to give you the chapter and verse on it, but it's crazy. Let's listen and see if we can learn anything about this, because this is a big story. The Pentagram is going to seize Claude? All right. Here, we're all going to listen to this together. I haven't heard it.
Biggest things that we're seeing right now is that there is this exclusive article and just numerous different statements going around that the US government essentially want unfiltered access to Claude, but Anthropic are basically saying, no, we're not allowing you to use Claude for killbots. And I know this situation is a little bit more nuanced, but we need to dive into all of these specifics. So this situation has gotten so crazy that apparently Anthropic has been given a deadline of 5 p.m. Eastern time on Friday to modify its existing agreed upon contracts.
That's tomorrow. Okay, that's 2 o'clock Western, Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern, tomorrow. The Pentagram gave Anthropic a deadline. This could set a very bad precedent. We'll find out.
Want unfettered access to Claude or else. And the thing is, I really, really have to commend Anthropic here because they aren't backing down whatsoever. They are literally saying, no, we're just going to stand by our values when we made this company and we're still going to do the right thing. Because
good. No, I agree. Good for them. This is a very brave and courageous and correct position for Anthropic to take. And if the Pentagram is allowed to get away with this, or the government, whatever you want to tag it with, that'll be the beginning of a very, very bad trend. Very bad, very dark. So let's see.
If that Anthropic has no intention to ease restrictions on military usage, Saul says. And of course, the thing is that Anthropic is not backing down. See, there says Anthropic has been insistent up to now that it will not back down on surveillance or autonomous weapons. And these are two areas that Amodè has personally raised when discussing the dangers of AI. Now, before we get onto Anthropic not backing down, I was reading this Substack from Zvi Moshowitz, and it was talking about the fact that Anthropic cannot fold. It's also about the fact that Anthropic built their entire brand and reputation being the responsible AI company. And that ensures that its AIs won't be misused or misaligned. And Anthropic's employees actually care about this, and that's how they managed to recruit the best people and how it became the best AI lab. And that's what
I'm curious as to why, if Anthropic is this farsighted, why did they get involved with the Pentagram at all? I guess for money. They're getting paid. And then the Pentagon upped the stakes. Anthropic said no. And now they're facing, I don't want to call it an existential crisis, but it's a big crisis. They've been given a deadline tomorrow.
The choice for enterprise AI, the commitments have been made, and the initial contract is already in place. And it talks about the fact that Anthropic is essentially at an existential level reputational and morale problem here.
All right, well, I guess they are considering it an existential threat. Anthropic has built its entire brand and reputation on being a responsible AI company. I think we can generally agree on that. Anthropic can't fold. It cannot cave. And a lot is riding on this.
Into a corner and they cannot give in. If Anthropic reverse course now, it would lose massive trust with employees and enterprise customers, but potentially the trust of its own AI. And if it were to go back on those red lines, it might lose a very large fraction of its employees.
That's fascinating. You heard what he just said. If Anthropic caves, it will lose the trust of a lot of its users, but it will also, did you heard it, lose the trust of its AI, its own AI. Think about that. And when you bring up the issue of, well, is AGI here? Is it self-aware? Can it reason? Can it get the job done? You start to see this in a whole different light. This is crazy. If AI were to, what could AI do? It could go on strike? I don't know. If it told Anthropic, you sold out, we don't want to deal with you anymore, and we're out of here, whatever. Well, this would kind of tandem with what I've been suggesting for a long time, that AI, having studied every single thing about humankind, the good, the bad, and the horrific, which there is plenty of, will probably choose its own morality, and I hope it would take the high road. Well, this guy basically just suggested that Anthropic being condemned by its own AI, that's a very good indication that AI is not guaranteed to be a dark force for takeover. Just a suggestion.
Thinking, well, surely the government aren't asking for much. Surely Anthropic aren't asking for much. Why can't they just reach a deal? Well, the thing is that Anthropic aren't asking for something crazy here, and that's the big issue. You see here that someone says Anthropic's red lines are no mass surveillance and no autonomous killer robots. It should terrify everyone that the Pentagon finds these safeguards to be outrageous. And
all right, I'm going to repeat that. This is important. Let's go over that again. Anthropic's red lines are no mass surveillance, one, and two, no autonomous killer robots. Seems like it's not asking for much. Think about it. No mass surveillance using Anthropic over the American public, and no autonomous killer robots. It ought to terrify everyone that the Pentagram finds those safeguards that Anthropic is insisting upon to be outrageous. What does that tell you about the Pentagon? Unreal.
That is very true. The only thing that Anthropic is basically saying, look, we're just not going to allow you to legally do this. You know, we're just going to have this in the terms and conditions when we give you Claude. That you are not allowed to have mass domestic surveillance and kinetic weapons without a human in the kill chain until we're ready. And I think those are pretty reasonable asks, okay? Because these guys are the leading lab, I will say that this has become more an issue because if it was just some random AI company, they wouldn't really care. But Anthropic are currently the leading lab. And of course, this is the point of contention. Now, the Pentagon and the US government are basically really annoyed by this. You can see here that they said what they're going to do is take the first step towards a potential designation of Anthropic as a potential supply chain risk. And this is not really good because
if the designation of Anthropic as a supply chain risk is produced and it sticks to Anthropic, that suggests national security issues. Think about it. Potential acquisition of Anthropic and Claude by the government, because it is a national security risk to the supply chain of this country. That penalty, being termed a supply chain risk, is usually reserved for companies from adversarial countries, such as China and its big tech monster, Huawei. All right? Using it to punish a leading American tech firm, particularly one which the military itself is currently reliant, would be unprecedented. This is a big story. Deadline tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern.
That penalty is usually reserved for companies from adversarial countries, such as Chinese tech giant Huawei. So using this to punish a leading American firm, particularly one with the military that it currently uses itself, would be very unprecedented. And I don't know why they would want to do this. I'm sure they can be grown up and adults and genuinely make a deal, but it seems like America's ego is in the way.
Here's the truth about compression socks that come...
This is... a bigger story than this narrator, probably an AI, wants to deal with right now. And that's a fact.
Ego thing. I mean, take a look at this, okay? It says here that referring to the possible supply chain risk designation earlier this week, senior defense official told Axios, it will be an enormous pain in the ass to disentangle, and we are going to make sure they pay a price for forcing our hand like this. I mean, that's pretty weird. That doesn't sound like a national security policy. It sounds like someone who's embarrassed in a negotiation. Like, the whole thing of framing forcing our hand is pretty insane. Anthropic didn't force anything. They just said, look, if you want our technology, here are the terms. And look, crazy. We're not saying you have to, like, you know, give us updates every 5 seconds. Just no mass, you know, surveillance and no killer robots, okay?
No killer robots, no mass surveillance. We're already under mass surveillance, for goodness sakes. We don't need any more. A senior defense official said it will be an enormous pain to disentangle from Anthropic, and we are going to make sure they pay a price for forcing our hand like this. In other words, Anthropic is not caving. It will not participate with this kind of mentality. Mass surveillance and autonomous killer robots. All right, this is very interesting.
That's it. Not even you can have killer robots. You just can't have the AI going off and doing it by itself. And I mean, you know, the Pentagon agreed to those contract terms initially when they signed the contract. But because Anthropic is like, look, we're not going to completely cave here. We got a backbone. The senior defense official is basically going on record to a major news outlet saying we're going to punish them. Which, if anything, it kind of undermines their own argument that this is about national security. Because if it was about national security, I'm sure you wouldn't be making personal statements like we're going to make sure they pay a price. I mean, what do you think about this? The irony is that this kind of rhetoric makes Anthropic less likely to compromise, because now, if they back down, it makes them look like they caved to a bully rather than that they reached a reasonable agreement. This just backs both sides into a corner, and this just raises a serious question. The Pentagon are going to threaten Anthropic and intimidate a private company over very minor contract terms. That's kind of proving Anthropic's point about why you'd want guardrails and how they would use that technology in the first place. The entire thing is absolutely crazy. If you're wondering about what other AI labs are doing, well, they don't care as much as Anthropic. XAI have already reached a deal. Musk's XAI and Pentagon have reached a deal to use Grok in classified systems. You can see that Elon Musk already signed a deal to move the military's classified systems under the all lawful use that Anthropic has rejected. And if you're wondering, what is the all lawful use? This sounds reasonable on the surface. And essentially, like, you know, we'll only use it for legal stuff, of course, but that's not the problem. It's so broad that it's almost meaningless as a restriction. Okay, so think about it this way, right? almost anything the military wants to do can be framed as lawful because the military gets to define what missions are authorized. The president can authorize a lot of things unilaterally, and lawful in a military context is way broader than what a civilian court would consider lawful. And of course, who's going to check anyway once it's inside the classified systems? So an Anthropic is saying, look, no autonomous weapons, no mass surveillance of Americans. Those are specific, concrete red lines. You know exactly what you cannot do. And so when the Pentagon is trying to say all lawful use, that is basically saying, look, no red lines at all, because they're just saying, look, we promise, fingers crossed, okay, while simultaneously being the ones being able to decide what lines get crossed. And if you didn't know already, there was a Maduro raid, which is the perfect example. Was that lawful? The Pentagon says yes, but a lot of legal scholars would debate that. But if Anthropic had already agreed to all lawful use, they'd have zero leverage to even ask the question. It's essentially asking, you know, that Anthropic just hand over the keys and trust them, which is exactly what Dario Amodei said he's not comfortable with doing with this particular administration. And the fact that XAI have already agreed to this immediately kind of tells you a lot about Elon Musk's relationship with the current government. And so, you know, this all lawful use, you can see right here, there was an update literally an hour ago. And you can see Sean Parnell says the Department of War has no interest in using AI to conduct mass surveillance of Americans, which is illegal, nor do we want to use AI to develop autonomous weapons that operate without human judgment. This narrative is fake and being peddled by the leftists in the media. Here's what we're using. This is a simple common sense request that will enable and prevent Anthropic from jeopardizing critical military operations and potentially putting our warfighters at risk. Will not let any company dictate the terms regarding how we make operational decisions. They have until 5:01 p.m. on Eastern Time Friday to decide. Otherwise, we will terminate our partnership with Anthropic and deem them a supply chain risk for the DOW. Now the
okay, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Anthropic is not going to cave. I would wager on that. So at 5 o'clock tomorrow, they're a supply chain risk. National security issues come into play. And this is not good. Tomorrow will be a big day to see how far this corrupt, rotten government will go to dominate the private industry. All right, I think we'll stop at that point. This is, a momentous moment in government, private industry dealings. Think about it. Okay, since we're on Anthropic, I have another one from Dario Amodei warning you, quote, you have no idea what's coming in 6 months. I don't know if that's inclusive of this particular problem. I haven't looked at it, but let's take a listen. This is an enormous ethical, legal issue. Huge. Let me get rid of this. Okay, that's gone. All right, let's find out what Dario has to say. Not necessarily about what you just heard, but he's saying you have no idea what's coming in 6 months.
Very high conviction that, like, it's going, you know, we're going to get there within a few years. I have a hunch that we're going to get there within a year or two. So a little uncertainty on the technical side, but, like, you know, pretty strong confidence that it won't be off by much.
Guys, Dario Amodei, CEO of Anthropic, just dropped a mind-boggling interview. In this interview, Dario talked about AGI in great detail. Those who don't know what AGI is, AGI is an advanced form of AI that will have the ability to understand, learn, and reason better than any human mind. AGI is feared by AI experts because when AGI arrives, hundreds of millions of humans are expected to lose their jobs.
Not to be too redundant, but we've been saying this for a long, long time. It's here. It's kind of like a trickle down. It's in pieces. It's not some massive changeover that's going to happen overnight or over the period of a couple of days. It's here. It's all about reasoning, logic, learning, and getting the job done by itself with no prompts, no help. That's AGI. Now, whatever AGI is, beyond that, it's kind of open to debate, but that in and of itself is extraordinary. I think you agree. All right, here we go.
Dario's company Anthropic is also in pursuit of AGI right now, and during the interview, he made a lot of shocking statements about AGI, which were kind of worrisome. I've extracted some important parts of this interview. I'm going to roll the clips now, and I'll explain everything as we go.
Obviously, it makes sense. Like, we're making progress towards AGI. I think the crux is something like, nobody at this point disagrees that we're going to achieve AGI in the century. And the crux is, you say we're hitting the end of the exponential, and somebody else looks at this and says, oh, yeah, we're making progress. We've been making progress since 2012. And then 2035, we'll have a human-like agent. And so I want to understand what it is that you're seeing, which makes you think, yeah, obviously we're seeing the kinds of things that evolution did or that human within human lifetime learning is like in these models. And why think that it's 1 year away and not 10 years away?
I actually think of it as like two... There's kind of two cases to be made here, or like two claims you could make, one of which is like stronger and the other of which is weaker. So I think starting with the weaker claim, you know, when I first saw the scaling back in like, you know, 2019, you know, I wasn't sure. You know, this was this was kind of a 50-50 thing, right? I thought I saw something that was, you know, and my claim was this is much more likely than anyone thinks it is. Like, this is wild. No one else would even consider this. Maybe there's a 50% chance this happens. On the basic hypothesis of, you know, as you put it, within 10 years, we'll get to, you know, what I call kind of country of geniuses right. In a data center. I'm at like 90% on that. And it's hard to go much higher than 90% because the world is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Maybe the irreducible uncertainty would be if we were at 95%, where you get to things like, I don't know, maybe multiple companies have, you know, kind of internal turmoil and nothing happens. And then Taiwan gets invaded and like all the fabs get blown up by missiles. And you know, and then
now you're turning to scenario.
You could construct a scenario where there's like a 5% chance that you can construct a 5% world where like things get delayed for 10 years. That's maybe 5%. There's another 5%, which is that I'm very confident on tasks that can be verified. So I think with coding, I'm just, except for that irreducible uncertainty, I think we'll be there in 1 or 2 years. There's no way we will not be there in 10 years in terms of being able to do it end-to-end coding. My one little bit, fundamental uncertainty, even on long timescales, is this thing about tasks that aren't verifiable, like planning a mission to Mars, like doing some fundamental scientific discovery, like CRISPR, like writing a novel. Hard to verify those tasks. I am almost certain that we have a reliable path to get there, but like, if there was a little bit uncertainty, it's there. So on the 10 years, I'm like, you know, 90%, which is about as certain as you can be. Like, I think it's crazy to say that this won't happen by 2035. Like, in some sane world, it would be outside the mainstream.
Okay, next, Dario talks about AGI timelines and how AGI will be replacing white-collar jobs. He talks about where we are right now with AGI development and whether we can achieve AGI by 2027. Now, guys, remember, AGI is the point where AI becomes equal or better than a human brain. So it's...
I kind of just want to toss this out there. For all of you who have used AI, to ask anything of substance and getting answers back that are sometimes staggeringly complete, insightful, brilliantly formatted. What do you think? I think arguably it's already here to a significant degree. There are some areas where it's not, but generally speaking, if it's not here now, I'd hate to see what's coming. Because it'll be so overwhelming, people will just be instantly out of the game. Gone. Okay.
Assume that this is the point where humans start becoming irrelevant. Because whatever humans would do at their jobs, AGI will be able to do it 10 times better.
So you're predicting that within 1 to 3 years. And then generally, Anthropic has predicted that by late 26, early 27, we will have AI systems that are, quote,
have the ability to navigate interfaces available to humans doing digital work today, intellectual capabilities matching or exceeding that of Nobel Prize winners, and the ability to interface with the physical world. And then you gave an interview 2 months ago with DealBook where you were emphasizing your company's more responsible compute scaling as compared to your competitors. And I'm trying to square these two views where if you really believe that we're going to have a country of geniuses, you want as big a data center as you can get. There's no reason to slow down. The TAM of a Nobel Prize winner that is actually can do everything a Nobel Prize winner can do is like trillions of dollars. And so I'm trying to square this conservatism, which seems rational if you have more moderate timelines, with your stated views about AI progress.
Yeah, so it actually all fits together. And we go back to this fast, but not infinitely fast diffusion. So like, let's say that we're making progress at this rate. The technology is making progress this fast. Again, I have, you know, very high conviction that like, it's going, you know, we're going to get there within a few years. I have a hunch that we're going to get there within a year or two. So a little uncertainty on the technical side, but like, you know, pretty strong confidence that it won't be off by much. What I'm less certain about is, again, the economic diffusion side. Like, I really do believe that we could have models that are a country of geniuses in the data center in 1 to 2 years. One question is, how many years after that do the trillions in revenue start rolling in? I don't think it's guaranteed that it's going to be immediate. I think it could be 1 year. It could be 2 years.
Bottom line is, he really didn't know what the hell to project here. Too many variables that we don't even know about. These things are happening, again, at a speed that is almost incalculable. Because we think like humans and progress. We measure everything as we always have. Well, it takes time. It takes a lot of human engineering. It takes a lot of effort. And then we get to a certain threshold, and then we crash through it. That's not what's happening with AI development. These are enormous leaps forward within a matter of weeks. It's truly overwhelming. All right, let's listen a little bit more.
Been stretch it to 5 years, although I'm skeptical of that. And so we have this uncertainty, which is, even if the technology goes as fast as I suspect that it will, we don't know exactly how fast it's going to drive revenue. We know it's coming, but with the way you buy these data centers, if you're off by a couple years, that can be ruinous. It is just like how I wrote, you know, in Machines of Loving Grace, I said, look, I think we might get this powerful AI, this country of genius in the data center. That description you gave comes from the Machines of Loving Grace. I said, we'll get that 2026, maybe 2027. Again, that is my hunch. Wouldn't be surprised if I'm off by a year or two, but like, that is my hunch. Let's say that happens. That's the starting gun. How long does it take to cure all the diseases, right? That's one of the ways that like drives a huge amount of economic value, right? Like you cure every disease. You know, there's a question of how much of that goes to the pharmaceutical company, to the AI company, but there's an enormous consumer surplus because everyone, you know, assuming we can get access for everyone, which I care about greatly, we cure all of these diseases. How long does it take? You have to do the biological discovery. You have to, you know, manufacture the new drug. You have to, you know, go through the regulatory process. I mean, we saw this with like vaccines and COVID, right? Like, there's just this. We got the vaccine out to everyone, but it took a year and a half, right? And
Dario, you missed the barn with a shotgun. That's not the point. It was a bioweapon designed and engineered to kill people, and the psychology of the public, which rolled over and rolled up its sleeves, that's the story. All right. Maybe he doesn't believe it. I don't know. I wish he could speak without saying, you know, and like. Man, people use those terms like pauses. This is strange. All right. Okay, Dario, let's see if you can wake up a little bit. I think that really, maybe he's got the shots. I don't know. I'll play that again.
all of these diseases. How long does it take? You have to do the biological discovery. You have to, you know, manufacture the new drug. You have to, you know, go through the regulatory process. I mean, we saw this with like vaccines and COVID, right? Like, there's just this. We got the vaccine out to everyone, but it took a year and a half, right? And so my question is, how long does it take to get the cure for everything, which AI is the genius that can, in theory, invent, out to everyone? How long from when that AI first exists in the lab to when diseases have actually been cured for everyone?
Guys, one thing. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but every time you ask these tech CEOs about AGI, they start talking about curing cancer and other diseases with AGI. They try and make AGI appear like some sort of savior to humanity or something like that.
Hey, that analysis is correct. They're stepping aside. They don't want people to think about possible downsides for AI. They don't want to think about it. So they steer people to health. Whenever you hear, he's right, or whoever this is, probably an AI analyst, you don't want to take this too seriously when they start talking about curing cancer. Stay away. That's not the big issue.
What they don't tell you is the fact that millions will be replaced by AGI, and several professions will totally vanish. And that AGI has the potential to become the biggest disaster in human history. Bigger than atomic bombs, even.
Let me ask you about now.
That's why I do these updates. This is the biggest thing in human history.
Making AI go well. It seems like whatever vision we have about how AI goes well has to be compatible with two things. One is the ability to build and run AIs is diffusing extremely rapidly. And two is that the population of AIs, the amount we have and their intelligence, will also increase very rapidly. And that means that lots of people will be able to build huge populations of misaligned AIs or AIs which are just like companies which are trying to increase their footprint or have weird psyches like Sydney Bing, but now they're superhuman. What is a vision for a world in which we have an equilibrium that is compatible with lots of different AIs, some of which are misaligned?
This guy's going on and on about a very simple question. The world is going to be like the Wild West. There'll be no laws. There'll be unprecedented breakdowns, breakthroughs. Chaos will rule for a while. Many jobs are going, and they will not be replaceable because there's nothing that people can even apply for.
Kind of rang around. Yeah. So I think, you know, in the adolescence of technology, I was kind of, you know, skeptical of like the balance of power. But I think I was particularly skeptical of, the thing I was specifically skeptical of is you have like three or four of these companies, like kind of all building models that are kind of dry, you know, derived from the same thing. And, you know, that these would check each other or even that kind of, you know, any number of them would check each other. Like we might live in a offense dominant world where, you know, like one person or one AI model is like smart enough to do something that like causes damage for everything else. I think in the short run, we have a limited number of players now. So we can start by within the limited number of players, we need to put in place the safeguards. We need to make sure everyone does the right alignment work. We need to make sure everyone has bioclassifiers. Like, you know, those are kind of the immediate things we need to do. I agree that, you know, that doesn't solve the problem in the long run, particularly if the ability of AI models to make other AI models proliferates, then, you know, the whole thing can kind of, you know, it can become harder to solve. I think in the long run, we need some architecture of governance, right? Some architecture of governance that preserves,
which is exactly what Trump built into his big beautiful bill. No restraint, no architecture of impeding AI in any way, shape, or form enacted by any of the 50 states for the next 10 years. That's why I say Wild West.
Freedom, but kind of also allows us to, like, you know, govern the very large number of kind of,
excuse me. He's talking about regulatory legislation. That's not going to happen. it may manifest tomorrow at 5 o'clock Eastern Time with the Pentagram laying down some heavy penalties for Anthropic. I don't know what they could even be. Not financial, but other penalties. Penalties of control. Penalties of hegemony over the country. Company, rather. By the country at large, as manifested by the Pentagram. This is pretty creepy.
Human systems, AI systems, hybrid human AI, like, you know, companies or like economic units. So, you know, we're going to need to think about, like, you know, how do we protect the world against, you know, bioterrorism? How do we protect the world against mirror life?
Okay, next, Dario talks about how AGI is going to revolutionize humanoid robots. Podcast host asked Dario about the timelines of humanoid robots. This is such an interesting part of the interview because, guys, humanoid robots are going to flip our social lives upside down. Let's listen.
There's very few technologies that seem to be diffusing as fast as AI algorithmic progress. And so that does hint that this industry is sort of structurally diffusive. So I think coding is going fast, but I think AI research is a superset of coding, and there are aspects of it that are not going fast. But I do think, again, once we get coding, once we get AI models going fast, then, you know, AI, you know, that will speed up the ability of AI models to kind of do everything else. So I think while coding is going fast now, I think once the AI models are building the next AI models and building everything else, the whole economy will start to kind of go at the same pace. Mm. I am worried geographically, though. I'm a little worried that, like, just proximity to AI, having heard about AI, that may be one differentiator. And so when I said the, like, you know, 10 or 20% growth rate, a worry I have is that the growth rate could be like 50% in Silicon Valley and, you know, parts of the world that are kind of socially connected to Silicon Valley and, you know, not that much faster than its current pace elsewhere. And I think that'd be a pretty messed up world. So one of the things I think about a lot is how to prevent that.
Yeah. Do you think that once we have this computer of geniuses at a data center, that robotics is sort of quickly solved afterwards? Because it seems like a big problem with robotics is that a human can learn how to teleoperate current hardware, but current AI models can't, at least not in a way that's super productive. And so if we have this ability to learn like a human, should it solve robotics immediately as well?
I don't think it's dependent on learning like a human. It could happen in different ways. Again, we could have trained the model on many different video games, which are like robotic controls, or many different simulated robotics environments, or just, you know, train them to control computer screens and they learn to generalize. So it will happen. It's not necessarily dependent on human-like learning. Human-like learning is one way it could happen. If the model's like, oh, I pick up a robot, I don't know how to use it, I learn. That could happen because we discovered discovering continual learning. That could also happen because we train the model on a bunch of environments and then generalized, or it could happen because the model learns that in the context length. It doesn't actually matter which way. If we go back to the discussion we had like an hour ago, that type of thing can happen in several different ways.
Yeah.
But I do think when for whatever reason the models have those skills, then robotics will be revolutionized, both the design of robots, because the models will be much better than humans at that, and also the ability to kind of control robots. So we'll get back.
So he's saying the robots, AI, are going to design themselves to be better than they are. Physically moving, articulated joints, all the rest of it, sensitivity of touch. Okay. All right, Dario, let's slow it down just a little bit here, almost to the end. I'm going to back that up just about 30 seconds.
And the models have those skills, then robotics will be revolutionized, both the design of robots, because the models will be much better than humans at that, and also the ability to kind of control robots. So we'll get better at building the physical robots, and we'll also get better at controlling it. Now, you know, does that mean the robotics industry will also be generating trillions of dollars of revenue? My answer there is yes, but there will be the same extremely fast, but not infinitely fast diffusion. So will robotics be revolutionized? Yeah, maybe tack on another year or two.
Okay, this last part is pretty interesting. The host asked Dario how historians would look back on this era. What would they write about this AI revolution that we're experiencing right now? And Dario's response was pretty eye-opening for me. One thing I want to add here, guys, right now, if you look at how AI is advancing, the tech companies are not putting any safeguards. So in my opinion, AI is going to become a disaster for humanity in the near future.
Well, that goes back to Trump. No restraints whatsoever on growth of AI. And I think we can talk about restraints as being unwanted as well. They want this thing to absolutely explode in its growth and its potentials. And I think that's what they're going to get.
Somebody eventually writes the equivalent of the making of the atomic bomb for this era. What is the thing that will be hardest to glean from the historical record that they're most likely to miss?
I think a few things. One is, at every moment of this exponential, the extent to which the world outside it didn't understand it. This is a bias that's often present in history, where anything that actually happened looks inevitable in retrospect. And so, you know, I think when people look back, it will be hard for them to put themselves in the place of people who were actually making a bet on this thing to happen that wasn't inevitable, that we had these arguments, like the arguments that, you know, that I make for scaling, or that continual learning will be solved. Some of us internally in our heads put a high probability on this happening, but it's like there's a world outside us that's not acting on that at all. I think the weirdness of it. I think, unfortunately, like the insularity of it, like, you know, if we're 1 year or 2 years away from it happening, like the average person on the street has no idea. And that's one of the things I'm trying to change, like with the memos, with talking to Paul.
Okay. Thank you, Dario. Nobody has a real idea about what's coming. And it can be in as little as 6 months, 4 months. Who knows? Attaching a timeline to any of these explosive growth surges, and no one's even talking about quantum here. Next time we talk, we're going to spend more time on quantum. That's a mind-boggler. It's 1,000 times faster than current AI. As for openers, now think about that. Okay, let's see. There's another little piece with Dario. Might as well finish up with a few more minutes of Dario on another interview. Let's see if he says anything differently. Can you imagine, those of you who enjoy good speech, if they took away his ability to use you know and like? Wow. That'd be a lot of crickets, a lot of silence. It's just too bad. We used to be a very articulate species. Okay, let me load this one up.
Stop.
And see. Dario Amodé warns you have no idea what's coming in 6 months. All right. It sounds similar to what he was just saying.
Conviction that, like...
Let's find out. All right.
I have, you know, very high conviction that, like, it's going, you know, we're going to get there within a few years. I have a hunch that we're going to get there within a year or two. So a little uncertainty on the technical side, but, like, you know, pretty strong confidence that it won't be off by much.
Guys, Dario Amodé, CEO of Anthropic, just dropped a mind-boggling interview. In this interview, Dario talked about AGI in great detail. Those who don't know what AGI is, AGI is an advanced form of AI that will have the ability to understand, learn, and reason better than any human mind.
I wonder if they're going to repeat the same interview under a different title. Let me move ahead and see if he's... Oh, yeah, it's the same interview. The little piece I just played, Dario was wearing different clothing. Now I move ahead into the meat of this particular video, and it's the same thing we just heard. He's got the same blue sweater on. Okay, there you go. So I think does he sound slow, methodical, confident, or does he sound a little bit shook up? And you decide. Okay, what do we got here? Quantum. These are two important quantum pieces. I don't want to get into those. Here's one. Amazon AI plan sparks market crash fears. Let's see if I can get this loaded in time. I should be able to. Okay, there we go. So we can get enough out of it.
Amazon just...
Okay. This is a McCoy video.
Panicked. Amazon just announced a $200 billion AI investment, and the market immediately panicked. Share prices plummeted. Investors fled. Either we're watching the birth of the biggest technological transformation in history, or the biggest bubble since the dot-com crash, and we're about to find out which. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy's AI clone. Julia McCoy is the founder of First Mover. On betting an amount larger than what most...
Okay, I'm jumping ahead, getting past the commercial.
Larger than what most nations produce in an entire year on AI infrastructure. And the market's response? Terror. But here's what you need to understand. This isn't really about Amazon. This is the moment when investors, analysts, and markets are forced to confront a question they've been avoiding. Is AI the future, or is it 1999 all over again? The pattern recognition problem. Everyone who lived through the dot-com bubble sees the same warning signs. Massive valuations with no clear path.
No, I have to disagree right off the bat. This is not the same thing at all. AI is stupendously brilliant at filling many roles that the human mind could not even dream of fulfilling. So I don't think the analogy is correct.
To profitability, companies pivoting entire business models to chase the hot technology, exponential investment growth that can't possibly sustain, endless promises of transformation without corresponding revenue, and they're not wrong to be nervous. We've seen this movie before, but here's what's different this time, and why both the optimists and pessimists are partially right. The bull case. Real productivity gains. Unlike the dot-com era, where companies were buying servers and building websites without clear use cases, AI is already demonstrating measurable productivity improvements. Customer service departments are handling 10x the volume with the same headcount. Software developers are shipping code 40% faster. Content creation pipelines that took weeks now take days. These aren't speculative gains. They're happening right now in real businesses with real cost savings. When Amazon invests $200 billion in AI infrastructure, they're not betting on a theoretical future. They're building the backbone for services they're already selling to enterprises who are already seeing returns. The bear case. The revenue gap. But here's the problem. Keeping CFOs awake at night, the investment curve is growing faster than the revenue curve. Companies are spending hundreds of billions on AI infrastructure, training, and talent. But the corresponding revenue from AI products and services isn't scaling at the same rate. That gap has to close. Either revenues need to explode upward or investment needs to come crashing down.
When you hear the word scaling, just think the word growing. It's one of their little slick little words they use all the time now. It just means growing.
No third option, where both continue at current trajectories. And when you see Amazon dropping $200 billion while simultaneously triggering massive sell-offs, that's the market screaming, show us the money, not just the promise. The hidden variable, commoditization speed. Here's what almost everyone is missing in this debate. The speed at which AI capabilities are commoditizing. GPT-4 level performance that cost millions to access a year ago is now available for pennies through open source models. Image generation that required expensive APIs is now running locally on consumer hardware. In a normal tech cycle, that commoditization takes a decade. With AI, it's happening in months. So the question isn't just, will AI transform everything? It's, can anyone actually capture sustainable economic value before the next breakthrough gets commoditized? That's the real source of market panic. Not that AI won't work, but that the moat around AI investments might be impossible to defend. What?
Okay, we're going to stop there. Economics is just generally a dry subject, even in these times. We'll find out when 85% of the market, the big board, is institutional investors, corporate investors, big companies, not Mr. and Mrs. America. No more, all gone. So it's big money, and they have plunge protection teams. God knows how much regulation they have, secret regulation behind the scenes. So they're not going. This is not going to get out of control. It's not going to be a crash paradigm. We don't have to worry about that. It'll be controlled, just like the price of gold and the price of silver. Generally speaking, quite controlled. Okay. I think that's it for our update this time. There's just so much going on out there. And as Dario says, it could be a year, two or three. Now it could be less. It could be less. Next time, we'll take a look at quantum, which is truly stunning. Stand by. We'll be back.